hard to see that, but you believe that I want to solve my own.
Stars collide, you'll be there. Well, if he's been good to you, give him praise and magnify him. What a good God. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy. Well, well. Excited about the quizzers and excited about the children's choir. Ferocious group of young people and solid elders. You know, it's just a marvelous thing. The church is unlike any other place on the face of the earth. It really is. And the more I see of it, the better I love it. Well, praise God. Love what God is doing. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to continue tonight with a discussion of vision. But I want you to know you're standing in the midst of vision fulfilled. Vision and prophecy come to pass tonight. I had a dream 2 years before we moved to Birmingham. And in the dream, I saw the storefront. I saw the people. I didn't know the place and I didn't know the people. But God breathes vision. And what he breathed was just a seed for vision. And literally what you're standing in tonight is seed. And the vision is much broader, grander, I think, than any of us could imagine. But this is more than just a group of people. We've broken down barriers of social dynamics, cultural walls. We've seen things happen in this city with an apostolic message and an apostolic lifestyle. We're still seeing fervent, active, passionate, and powerful revival. Well, praise God. Lives are being changed. God's still working miracles. The gifts of the Spirit are flowing. God's still healing the sick. Still bringing his word to pass. And I really do believe that the best is yet to come. Really excited about what God is doing. Could you just clap once more, lift up your voice once more, magnify and praise him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. We took our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. But tonight we just want to focus on that phrase. Everybody say, pulling down strongholds. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the strongholds are between your ears. Praise God. They really are. And Paul in this teaching deals with strongholds of knowledge, strongholds of thought life, and strongholds of imagination, or if you would, vision. And tonight, would you say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Praise God. You know, the Word of God never compels you or calls you into something that's outside the range of your possibilities. Because he promises that he will work in you both to will and to do. Praise God. Touch that neighbor again and tell him God will work it in you to will. He'll make you want to do it, and he'll help you do it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto him if you're seated tonight. Let's give him praise and thanks and magnify his name. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word forever settled in the heavens. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so this morning we're dealing with Abraham, we're dealing with Moses, we're dealing with the Jews as they wander without vision in the wilderness, and they perish there because where there is no vision, the people perish. And I would expand that just to say where there is no godly vision, the people perish. And you can have wicked imagination or wicked vision, and you can have resistant imagination, vision that is antithetical to the kingdom of God. But tonight we're settled in the word of God, and we're dealing with vision that is breathed on you or in you by the word, by the spirit of God. The two primary places you're going to receive that are in meditation in the word of God and in prayer. Anybody in the house that God has ever opened up the door and shown you the answer while you've been seeking his face in prayer? Did it just come to you how to deal with the situation or to make your way and navigate the circumstances in a place of prayer? Is there a witness in the house that God still speaks and God still directs? Praise God. And within the biblical discussion, vision is about seeing things as God sees them and seeing them as they are in God's pristine plan. It begins with a godly knowledge base and a godly thought life. And out of that, just organically, if you have that in place, there's going to be the ascending up of vision and imagination that is consistent with the will of God. This morning we talked about the fact that Israel dies in the wilderness because they can't embrace the promise of God. They can't embrace the vision of God. Those that do live and those that can't die. And I'm just going to tell you tonight, it is not an option. They said, well, let's make a captain and let's go back where we were before. Let's go back to Egypt. You can't go back. If you're an apostolic tonight, you might want to go out in the world, but I'm just telling you, you go out there if you want to, but you won't find what you need there, and you won't find what you want there, and you never will get away from the tether, the calling, the insistent touch of God. You can drink till you're blind, but when you wake up, you're going to know that you belong to God. You can drug until your life is coming apart, but when you come back down to earth, you're going to know that there's a God. You can't go back to Egypt. My God, somebody say, we can't go back. We've got to go on. We've got to go on. The only way to go on is in the vision, the God-breathed vision that God gives to all of his people. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And this morning we talked about the vision of an eagle, the fact that if you have the eyesight of an eagle, you could stand atop the 10-story building and see an ant on the sidewalk in perfect clarity. Everything about him. I'm telling you, the word of God is specific when it tells you that if you will rise up out of your circumstance, strengthened by the word of God, rise up out of your circumstance in praise and worship, rise up on the wings, the draft of prayer, then you'll be able to see things very, very clearly. If things seem muddled right now, find yourself a prayer room. If things seem too complicated right now, find yourself a place of meditation in the word of God. If you're sitting in the dark right now, God will turn on the light for you, but you've got to seek his face. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. But it doesn't come without pursuit. It doesn't come without a proactive pursuit on your behalf. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews 8:5, and we're talking about Abraham and Moses essentially here, but Hebrews 8:5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished when God of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Everything that Israel would ever have in God hinged upon the correct construction of that tabernacle. God said, look, make it like I showed you on the mountaintop. For everything that we'll do of any merit or any consequence in the kingdom of God, it's got to be done according to the pattern shown on the mount. We've got a manual here about how to live my life and how to build my family and how to conduct myself as a husband or as a wife. If you'll do it God's way, God's going to breathe blessing and goodness down upon it. Somebody that knows that to be true, say amen. He told Moses, make it like I showed you. God's already told us how to get out of the problem that you're in right now. God's already told us how to get relief from the pressure you're in right now. God's already told us how to have revival in the city of Birmingham. God's already told us how to be a soul winner, how to walk in the gifts, how to walk in the blessing and be a blessing. God's already told us. He said, just do it like I showed you. We don't need to make it seeker friendly. We don't need to make it culturally relevant. We don't need to make it recognizable to the world. If you'll do it the way God says it, God will rain down his beneficence upon it. Somebody say amen. Praise God. I'm excited about, just let me stop for a minute. I'm excited about these small group meetings. I'm excited about Wednesday night in Hayden and in McCalla and in Hoover. I believe God's going to breathe down upon those meetings. They haven't started inviting outsiders yet. The Spanish-speaking group is going to start doing that next weekend. Brother Dross invited himself to preach to them. He said, I'm not doing anything in the afternoon. Let me preach. So I said, preach. And so they're passing out flyers and they're inviting people and they're going to have it in the big house here and they're going to invite folks to come. And you can come if you like, but if you don't speak Spanish, you won't understand it. But I'm telling you, having been in foreign language services before, it's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same anointing. It's the same move of God. You shout with them. You just be careful about what you say amen to because you don't know what you're saying. But I'm really, really excited about these things. I believe God's going to breathe on those meetings. And those are nets that are going to be filled up with all kinds of fish. But he tells Moses, be sure you make it like I showed you on the mountain. Everything starts with vision. And God breathes vision. But he brings Moses to a mountaintop. And he takes Abraham to a mountaintop. And there is something, there are atmospheres where you can't find vision, but you've got to find an atmosphere that is dripping with the anointing and the blessing and the goodness of God. And if you can't find one, you make one, because God will meet one person. He'll meet a young person. He'll meet a child. He'll meet a David out in the middle of a pasture. He'll meet you, doesn't matter how small you are. He'll meet a Gideon, and Gideon says, I'm the smallest, I'm the poorest. We come from the smallest family. Doesn't matter who you are. God will meet with you there. We talked about Jehovah Jireh this morning in the mount. Everyone say, in the mountain of God, it shall be seen. Anybody want to see it? Anybody want to see what God has for you? Just a little bit or a lot or just kind of, sort of, maybe, or do you really want to see? Well, you don't see it back at base camp, and you don't see it down in the valley of trouble, but somewhere, somehow, you've got to figure out how to ascend into the mountain of God. Because he said, Jehovah Jireh, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. For us, again, that's that place you scale to the top of. When Abraham climbed that mountain, he had the weight of the knowledge of the calling of God, the most difficult thing ever God ever asked him to do, on his shoulder. And so he makes his way there just saying, I don't understand. I don't understand how God will do it. I don't understand how God will accomplish it. I'm just going to do what I've been told, and I'm going to let God take care of all the details. Do you know how many dreams have perished and how many visions have died on the vine because people begin to count the cost? lost and the circumstance and look at all the hindrances and all of the obstacles in the way, and they never made the trip to the mountain of God. When Abraham got there, there was a sacrifice already there, and God was there, and the pleasure of God was there. If he hadn't gone, he'd have never found that. So God's called us to a mountaintop experience. And we go there in worship. Some folks don't like our worship, and some folks think we're a little too rough and a little too rowdy, but you can't be that way. My pattern for worship is David in the Old Testament, dancing with all of his might before the Lord. I've seen people dancing here tonight, but I don't know if I've seen anybody dance with all of their might before the Lord. We've got some distance to cover to get there. Well, praise God. Don't bother me about our worship. We're going to worship God, because worship is a part of ascending to the mountain of God. Abram told the servants, we're going yonder to worship. God had called him to sacrifice, but he called it worship. Well, praise God. You can't get to the mountain of God without obedience to the call. You can't get to the mountain of God without worship as unto God. It's not a drudgery. It's not, oh, sour hour of prayer. It's not, well, I've got to do this or I'm going to be lost, or I've got to do this. You got to get past, I'm doing this to avoid hell. It's got to be all about, I'm doing this because I'm going to catch another glimpse of his face. I'm doing this because I'm going to feel another wave of his spirit. I'm doing this because I'm going to move on up and see a little further and have a little more of the things of God. I want to, does anybody here have a hunger and a passion for God? This won't work any other way. My God, you've got to be hungry for this. You've got to be thirsty for this. For they that do hunger, they'll be filled. And they that do thirst, he said, I'm going to give them to drink. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Oh, come on, it's here. It's here for the taking. It's here to be experienced. It's here to know. Vision and everything else in the kingdom of God is predicated on desire, hunger, pursuit, swings on the hinge of human will. Praise God. So as we're moving in to tonight, this invisible reality that God lives in, God is a spirit. The scripture says he is invisible. He became visible in the incarnation and through theophanies in the Old Testament. But his world and his plan is in another dimension altogether. But sometimes he'll pull back the tapestry. Sometimes he will open up a portal and he'll say, here, Moses, look at this. Build it just like this. Because Moses was building a tabernacle, and there is a temple in the heavens, and he showed it to Moses. And there is a pristine example of what God sees as your perfect life and what God sees as his plan for you. God has a pristine example in the heavenlies of your home and your marriage and your family and your ministry and all of those things that he's called you to be and do. God already has it prepared. He's already prepared everything that we have need of in the heavenlies. It's a matter of putting ourselves in a position to see. Getting and catching the vision. The vision always precedes and defines and shapes the visible manifestation. You will never rise above the level of your vision for yourself, for you as a spouse, for you as a family. You'll never rise above your level of vision. But if you can get into a, you say, well, I didn't have an example, and nobody ever taught me, and I didn't come out of a culture that gave me those understandings and those ideas. And I'll grant you, some people start at a deficit, and some folks start in the dark, and they don't know. But if you have hunger, it doesn't matter what a wretched pit, it doesn't matter how dark the place was. If you've got hunger and you begin to call out on God, God will meet you there. And if you'll press in, God will turn on the light. A vision in your life. Can somebody say praise the Lord? How many of you in the house are doing things right tonight that you never had a model of, but you're living in the vision of God, a God-breathed vision for life? He said that I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He wants you to grow. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. You are an extension of the covenant of Abraham. And God's intent is to bless you so that you can walk in that blessing and be a blessing. Before there was a tabernacle, there was a vision. This morning I just mentioned in passing, Plato's philosophy was simply that there are three chairs. There's the chair in the ether that you can't see, but there's the chair in the mind of the craftsman, and then there's the chair that he actually makes. And it's always like that in life. There's that vision that God has, and then when he shows it to you, then it's in you. Now it's yours to walk up and down in and to actualize and to bring into existence. Praise God. I look at some of your families and I think this is just marvelous. This is just absolutely phenomenal. Look at what God is doing and look at what he's building this out of. Because you as raw material, you were pitiful. You didn't have much potential that a human eye could see. But God could see something in you, and God knew what he could do with you. He thought so much of you that he said, I'll die on a cross for that person. And he says, now watch what I can do. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him God can do anything with you. They did not say God can't do anything with you. I don't care what your mama told you. I don't care what your daddy said. I don't care what the school said. I don't care what your neighbors, I don't care what your ex said. I don't care what anybody has said. Let's listen to what God has said, because it'll be consistent with the vision of God. Somebody that's not feeling particularly able needs to shout tonight, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, praise God. The power of that tabernacle, the power of the actualization, depends on the accuracy of the recreation. The effectiveness of it depends on the recreation of it. What God has spoken, what God has breathed. If you'll do it like God says. Now you're talking about building a church. Talking about building a congregation of people. Talking about building a center for revival in a city. Talking about building a place that will be a lighthouse where people can come when their lives are shipwrecked. You want to do that according to the model and according to the vision of God. And you don't want to take a scissors to this word of God and say, well, now I don't believe that that's culturally relevant anymore. And I don't believe that that fits into our 2013 American culture. No, no, no. When they came out of Egypt, God said concerning the Passover, he said, eat it all. Eat the head. Eat the legs, eat the pertinence thereof. When you come to the word of God, you eat it all, because it's the Christ, it's the vision, it's the plan, it's the model. Eat the head, eat the legs, eat the pertinence thereof. Eat it all. Because that's what happens. People set aside the unpleasant parts. People set aside the pertinence thereof. You ever read the label on a can of potted meat? Or Vienna sausages? Vienna weenies? They're made of tripe. Tripe is what they got off the processing room floor. It's all the stuff they couldn't identify and put anywhere in some label. So they grind it up, and we buy it and put a little mustard and get it on crackers, and it's not bad. But when it, I don't care if you eat potted meat or not, but when it comes to the word of God, you better eat the head, the legs, the pertinence thereof. If it talks to you about a life of holiness, you better find out what holiness is. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You may not know what it is, but you better find out what it is. Well, praise God. If it talks about forgiving your enemies, you better do it. If it talks about letting love override all your grudges and your grievances, you better do that. These are the hard parts. These are the hard parts. I have been in a situation before where as a man, I walked away totally unsatisfied. Because as a man, I wanted vengeance. I wanted a part of the person. And I wanted it up close and personal and with my hands and maybe my teeth. I don't get angry often, but when I do, I have no buffer. And it's like, that kind of anger. Homicidal mania anger. And I can't tell you the pain of walking away. You're not going to let me kill him. You're not going to let me break his knees. And I'll talk about vision that's not like God's vision. I saw broken knees, broken elbows. You've heard the axiom about tearing your arm off and beating you with it. That's possible. There's not much holding your shoulder on. I could see that. And there are times when I can yet see that. But you can't do that and be consistent with the vision of God. You got to eat that pertinence. I got to forgive my enemy. Good Lord, in heaven, I've got to forgive my enemy because he died for my enemy. That's why the man asked the question. The lawyer asked the question, but who is my neighbor? Because he didn't want to think that he had to love everybody equally. He said, surely there are some folks that you don't have to love. Praise God. My God, could we just lift up our hands and just love him for a moment here? Aren't you glad that God loves you with that kind of love? Aren't you glad that God is willing to cleanse you of every sin? And he said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. I've disillusioned some of you. That preacher's a killer. Well, who knows what we would have been had it not been for the vision of God. Well, praise God. Praise God. The power or excellence of what you achieve is going to be determined by how faithfully you replicate the vision in your life. Actualization is bringing that vision down from the invisible and making it manifest in the visible world, the natural world. But it's got to be seen first. And to be seen, somebody's got to go to the mountain. Daddy, listen to me. Somebody's got to go to the mountain for your family. Somebody's got to go to the mountain for your children. You're going to raise up powerful vision in your kids. God has an idea about them. But you've got to go to the mountain, and you can't do it your way. You've got to go into the invisible. And the only way, the two primary portals, Word of God, worship and prayer. The Word of God, worship and prayer. That's why the devil hates your praise. That's why you look all across the non-biblical church world and they sit like stone idols themselves because somebody has stolen their worship. Or you look across the non-biblical world and they're worshiping or they're dancing or whatever they're doing, but they're doing it completely outside of obedience to the Word of God. You have to build it the way that God sees it. He's got a vision for you, for your marriage, for your home, for your family. Somebody's got to go into the invisible. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Are you okay? I love the Holy Ghost that I'm feeling in the house tonight. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Vision is integral to faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How did he know to build an ark? How did he know? If somebody called you up today and asked you to build a boat, a barge, 2 football fields long, where would you start? No power tools? No Home Depot? No clue about how to do. God breathed into this man a vision of how it was to be made, where to put the door, pitch it inside and outside, the height of the eave and the length of the ship, and the 3 floors that were going to segment those decks internally. Don't you know that Ham was glad that his daddy could see into the invisible? On the day that the rain started, on the day that the flood began to rise up, don't you know Shem was saying, man, I've been working with daddy for 100 years and I've been griping and grousing and complaining, but today I am a glad man that my daddy got a vision in the invisible and knew how to build a boat. I guarantee you there were days where they didn't want to go to work and days where they disagreed with Noah and days where they fussed and maybe cussed about it. But on the day when it mattered and that door was closed and people were trying to get in and they were inside, let me tell you something, Church of the Living God. When that 6th trump sounds and when something happens so cataclysmic in this earth that a couple of billion people are going to die and the book of Revelation sweeps into center stage and all that you see in Revelation 16, the plagues and all of the cataclysm begins to take place, I want you to understand that's going to be a day when you're going to be glad to be standing in the ark of the living God. You're going to be glad that somebody had a vision of the invisible. Oh my God, you ought to shout about the promise of God a little bit. Gotta see into the invisible. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go to a place which he should after receive, in verse 8, receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going, but he had seen it before he ever left home. He didn't know where he was going. Well, God, how is this? Why don't you show me the whole thing? God will show you enough to get you there. God will show you enough to be motive force to drive you there. But he may not give you all the gory details, because if he did, you might not take the trip. Anybody ever been halfway on the journey and said, well, God, you didn't show me this. You didn't tell me about this. I didn't know this was going to hurt like this. I didn't know I was going to get betrayed like that. I didn't know it was going to be like that. Just shut up, sit down, hold on, and let's take the ride with God. Let's see where God will take us. If he shows you a vision, he's going to get you there, and it's going to be worth the trip. But we see what Abraham was looking for in verse 10. Everyone say, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He didn't know where he was going, but he had a vision of a city. He had a vision of a place where he was going to arrive. You know, Abraham's in the middle of that place right now. Abraham's in the middle of part of that vision right now. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Concerning the patriarchs, Hebrews 11 and 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. God prepared something for us And they were a part of the process of getting to where God has brought his people today. But would you say, having seen them afar off, they saw them afar off, and they lived and died under the weight of that vision. They gave their lives for the vision of God. I'm just telling you, there's a delusion in the earth already. There's deception moving in the earth already. The Antichrist is moving in the earth already. And your schoolmates and your fellows at work and your neighbors are already coming under the heel of that. Come on, you don't think they're coming under the spell of that? They're murdering little babies every day. Tell me that's not a spell. They're marrying men to men. Tell me that's not a spell. I mean, just take a time capsule and go back to 1940 and walk up to the country store and say, guess what, fellas? In 2013, we're going to go to a wedding and a man's going to marry a man. There's no way you're going to sell that. Not in these here United States. Ain't happening ever. You'd sooner fly and land on the moon. Both seemed impossibilities. But here we are. How do we get here? Some say the frog in the pot, but I'll tell you, there is a spiritual component attendant with all of these behaviors, and there is a delusion, and it is growing stronger every day. And the only remedy, you check it out in the Word of God, the only remedy for that is a love of the truth. They were deceived because they had not a love for the truth. You better get into the fire of the truth. Don't stand back at the peripheral. Don't see how far away, how close to the world. You better get up right to the fire. You better throw another log on. You better be in a position to embrace the fullness of what God has. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's not a day. If you backslide today, you're a moron. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you're a backslider, you're a moron. If you're a backslider in the house, I'm just telling you, I'm sorry, but you're a moron. The door is about to close on the ark. The king's about to come back. The trouble's about to start. The excitement, and in the middle of it, the greatest revival the world has ever seen. I really believe every bit of that. But you better be on the right side, the winning side. You better be sold out. That comes by vision. Can't be somebody else's. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. If you get too at home here, you're going to have a problem. Because God's going to be pulling, God's going to be showing, God's going to be calling, and you're going to be dragging, and you're going to be holding on, and you're going to be weighted down. You've got to get loose. The old timer said, don't drive your tent stakes too deep. You need to have your staff in your hand, your shoes on your feet, your loins girded, ready for travel, as they were as they left out of Egypt. When Joseph, in verse 22 of Hebrews 11, was leaving Egypt, he died. He said, when you go, take my bones with you. Vision extends beyond the natural experience. Vision extends beyond life expectancy. Vision is bigger than you, and vision is something that never stops. The day God killed Moses, he took him up to the crest of the mountain and caused him to look over into the promised land and gave him a brand new vision. Vision never stops. Vision is essential to your experience in God. If you're not breathing in fresh vision, the only conclusion I can draw is that you don't have a fresh prayer life. Because if you're praying and seeking, spending time talking in tongues, lying in the presence of God, God's going to open up something to you. He delights in showing his ways to you. He wants somebody to call on him with that type of fervor. Praise God. Praise God. Moses in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing, everyone say, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had a glimpse of somebody that was invisible. He had a vision of a God that was greater than everything that Pharaoh had to offer. Praise God. Now concerning Abraham, Romans 4 and 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth or makes alive the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God calls things that are not as though they are. When we were talking about knowledge and thought life, we talked a good deal about what you say with your mouth. You have life and death in the power of your tongue. And your speech needs to be consistent with the vision of God. I would tell you that your speech is the evidence of the depth and breadth and quality of your vision. If you're a murmurer and a complainer, you have no vision other than a defeatist vision. You don't have the vision of God. If you're a griper and a mourner, you don't have the vision of God. You've got some sort of vision. You're finding fault with everybody around you. That's another type of malignant vision. But if you've got the vision of God, it's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to be a blessing to everybody around you. You're going to be talking about the good things of God all the time. You're going to be talking about what God's going to do, how God's going to do it, how big the thing is that God's going to do. You're going to wake up in the morning and sing, I feel like something good is about to happen. You're going to wake like David and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. My God, does anybody in this house have a vision? Does anybody in this house have an idea about what God's going to do with you and with your home and with your family and with your children and with your ministry and with the church of the living God? Well, praise God. He calls those things that are not as though they were. I'll take you on a stroll tonight and just show you how it works. And this is just a little pitiful vision here. But this platform's going to be gone. There's going to be a commercial kitchen over in this corner. A rectangular kitchen, however big and however nasty the sassy servers say to build it. There's going to be a door that starts about right here and runs over to about right here. And as you enter in, you'll come right through here and you'll make your way. This will be a multi-purpose building with basketball goals and Sunday school tables and school and all kinds of other things going on in there. Place for the youth to hang out. And as you walk through this wall, it looks so real. I think I might. But you'll enter a corridor as long as this wall. It'll be 100 feet wide, and it'll be a full bay. And it'll have large bathrooms like the two that are in that hallway there against the back of this wall. There'll be an office down in the back of this corner. And then you'll go in and there'll be three double doors accessing a sanctuary. And the sanctuary is two bays larger than this one. It'll seat 800 fairly loosely. I just want you to begin to see it. How many of you were with me when we first started walking out here, and this was pavement and gravel, and we walked out here and I showed you this is where the platform's going to be, and we were walking on asphalt and grass and stuff, and this is where the office is going to be, and this is where the hallway. How many of you were here when we took those strolls? And it helps you because it kind of opens up your understanding as to what we're going to do. But I'm just telling you, I've already got the civil drawings in the office and finished up with the architect last week or week before last on the revisions on that building, and we are done. Dustin's going to take these subs that he had already shredded, those old ones that came from the Wild West and were with us for yay many years. And these subs were bought with the new building in mind. If you think they're a little bit too right now, they're going to fit nicely into that larger space. Frankly, I like it a lot. I like to stand here and feel the bass drum go and feel the bass move. It's reminiscent of days of yore. Praise God. Praise God. Now, why do you need additional space? There are empty seats here and here, and look, a cluster of seats there. And I see empty seats here, and there's young some, and some in the back there. Why in the world would you begin to make plans for more room when you have? And we've done vertical worship before. In every building we've been in, we've learned to worship just like this. And sweat buckshot. You have learned third world worship, and you have worshiped in third world conditions. And I salute you for your faithfulness. Because in the old red building, people said, you get to 80% and nobody else will come, and it'll all spill over the top and you can't have any more than that. But you were in there, friend. I mean, you were ganged up in there. You were crammed up in there. And you got enough vision and you got enough passion. It doesn't matter about the circumstance. And it breaks all of the statistical information into pieces. Doesn't matter. But why do we want to do that? Because I'll tell you, there's nets being cast right now. We're teaching Bible studies right now. We're having people come right now. There are home meetings going on right now and more to open up. And all of them are nets cast into the sea of this city. And there's going to be people get the Holy Ghost in that new building. There are going to be babies that get it in this building that make their way into the new one. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, if you're glad for the vision of God, give him a little praise and magnify him a little bit right now. Praise God. That couple you met, that you felt drawn to, that you've already met with and drank coffee and played board games with, I can see them getting the Holy Ghost. I can see them getting the Holy Ghost. I can see them standing right in here with you with their hands lifted and tears running down their face. I could hear them afterwards saying, I've never felt anything like this in my whole life. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. I want more of this. My God, can you see that? Can you see your neighbors getting the Holy Ghost? Can you see those at school with you getting the Holy Ghost? Can you see your in-laws getting the Holy Ghost? My God. My God. Vision is your motive force. Vision keeps you alive. Vision is your North Star. Vision is evidence of a continuing communion with God. Vision is consistent with all of the important characters in the Word of God. And if you're going to be important in the kingdom, and if God's going to do an important work in you, vision is essential. Flowing, breathed down from God. Praise God. Praise God. I didn't say a word. But something like jump, like bam, 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 bam. No, I don't. Are we rude to have a discussion in front of you? Praise God. Could you just lift up your hand and feel after the presence of God? If you've never received the Holy Ghost and spoken in other tongues, If God's never filled you up and it's just rained down in your life and you've spoken in other languages, I want you to know God will do that in your life tonight. He'll do it right here. If you'll meet me right here, I'll lay my hands on you and God will give you the Holy Ghost. And you'll talk in tongues. And it will transform your life and it will infuse you with vision. If you've never gone down in the water in Jesus' name, we've got the robes ready and the water ready, and God will wash all your sins away tonight, right now, in a moment. Everything you've ever been or done that wasn't like God, God will wash that away right now. You'll get a fresh start. You'll wake up tomorrow morning feeling better than you felt in your whole life. Well, you can't get that at a bar room. You can't get that from drugs. There's nothing in this world that can do this for you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. When God's showing Abraham vision, he has to drag him outside of his tent. Abraham said, what will you give me seeing that I go childless? And this Eleazar of Damascus is my heir apparent. He drags him outside of his tent and says, look at this, Abraham. Look what I'm able to do. Look what I've done. He's engaging him in vision. And sometimes you got to come out of where you are. And his charge to Abraham was that he walk up and down in it. Some of you need to get a little motion in your prayer. You need to get a little motion in your worship. Praise God. You need to walk up and down in your home saying what God has said. You need to walk up and down in your school saying what God has said. I need a kid tomorrow to walk into the building, into the classroom, talking in tongues. I mean walking up and down in it. I need that to happen. We need that to happen. They need that to happen. Praise God. Praise God. Tonight, what I'd like for you to do is just get out from where you are, and I'd like for you to walk up and down in the vision of God a little bit. You say, well, I feel stupid. What am I doing? You've got a promise. God's made you a promise. God's made you a promise. He's given you a vision. He wants to rain down in your life. Hallelujah. Now open your mouth. Say what God has said. God, I know you're going to heal my body. God, I know that you're going to heal my loved one. God, I know you're going to open a door for me. Mighty God, I know you're going to show me your will and your way. Come on.
I'm going to lift you up.
By the word of God.
Lord, I'm going to lift you up.
By the word of God. Somebody needs to shout about the promise. Somebody needs to lay hold of the promise.
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. Dane and Daniel, come stand right here. Praise God. Praise God. Just stand right here. Turn that way. I remember standing outside a little greenhouse in Center Point, and a 15-year-old girl, a backslider, who had been devastatingly abused by the church, sat in the car in that driveway, and I began to tell her about what God could do and what God would do. And she reached out and took hold of vision in her life. Praise God. What are we looking at? 25 years? How old are you? God, how old am I? But she raised up a house. And young men that don't have to come to church, that don't have to live for God. Come here, Chase. Brother Cliff started witnessing at a commercial industrial business called Masonry Arts. Started 3 Bible studies in that place. He was working on his tools. He wasn't working for the church at the time, just doing what God had put in his heart. He had had a Bible study. He wanted everybody to have a Bible study. And now we're in the second generation of one of the families that, and there today there were 3 families represented from those Bible studies. And this is a second generation. And just a couple of weeks ago, there was a young man from that same job site where Chase is working now. That same job site produced another young man that came and got the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. If somebody will just give God's vision a little bit of an opening, there is absolutely no telling what God can do. I'm seeing stories like this all over this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. I taught a Bible study in the very first season of Bible studies at this church. And the guy that I taught in the house has never lived for God. But he had a redheaded 14-year-old son that would come through that Bible study. And the kid got moved off to Florida. But when he graduated from high school, the first thing he did was call back to Birmingham and said, I want to live for God. Can I come back to church? And he came back to church and has never turned around, has lived for God, all because as a kid he made up his... I'm just telling you. You just don't know what God's going to do. If you'll take the vision of God, the witness of God, a Bible study, your testimony, and plant it like seed, and let the thing have the life that God's given it. Praise God. When he's wrestling with Jacob, he said, let me go. What kind of a request is that? How can a man hold God? But I hear in the Holy Ghost tonight, God talking to this church and saying, let me go. You say, well, go ahead, God. I'm not. No. He wants you to do what he's asked you to do. Be what he's asked you to be. Rise up. Lay hold of the vision of God in all of its fullness, head, legs, and pertinence thereof. And let God be God. Mighty God, lift up your hands, and I just want you to offer yourself up. Blank check to God. Whatever you want, God, however you want it. I'm willing. I'm ready. I want it, God. I want your ways. I want your vision. I want your desire. Hallelujah. Come on, make this an altar tonight. Anything you want, God, any way you want it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you were blessed by that first preacher tonight? The little sawed-off one in the suit. Now, I'm not going to tell you anything I hadn't already told them. But I told Daniel and Christy, I said, I wouldn't have given you a nickel for your chances of surviving in the kingdom of God. But they just kept coming back. They never missed Bible study. They never missed church. What's it? Cranking on 3 years now? And we got a new baby about to come. Going to be a holy roller. Amen. And Lawson standing here telling you that God will never forsake you. He never will. That's the actualization of vision. We're not interested in Cadillacs and a house on a hill. If that's part of it, great. But what we're interested in and what he died for is every precious soul that comes in through these altars. I'm amazed at what God is doing. I'm amazed at what he's done. Let's love him once more. Let's just love him and bless his name. Hallelujah. I'm going to lift. Go ahead. Lift up your hand. Lift up your voice. Going to lift. Do that. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Come on, make it thunder in the house tonight. Somebody's hand lifted up. I'm gonna lift my. Come on. Clap your hands, lift your voice. Let there be a shout in the house. Come on. Let there be a shout in the house. Let there be a shout in the house. Hey, hey, hey. God, mighty God. God, mighty God. Ah, mighty God, mighty God. Get some flyers, invite some people to church. We need to have a house full of empty vessels come Sunday. Everybody said amen. How many of you believe we can have 30 or 40 people get the Holy Ghost? You've got to actualize that. You've got to bring them into the house. That means physically touch them. Hand them a flyer. Compel them to come in. There's an elders meeting tonight back in the last room in the hallway back here. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody before you leave the Lord's house tonight.